So if we do it, that's fine. If not, we'll try to do what we do well. I'd like to review with you in the passage. Remember, this picks up, actually, Hebrews 11 should be tied into verse 38 of the 10th chapter, where it's dealing with this idea of the just shall live by faith. With that in mind, let's start reading in Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that which were seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God for him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is where we had stopped last week and talked about the essence of faith and what it was, and how faith is never something in hand, it's something we press forward to. Faith is a gift of God, not only for salvation, it's given to us, and by the work of His Spirit, we ongoingly live by faith. And it's an indication of the righteousness that we have given to us by God, that we counted righteous, that we live and walk by faith. And our lives can be reflections and deeds that will directly show that we walk by faith. And faith is a key element to our life. If faith is what people would, when they look at your life and they look at you, that faith is always demonstrated by the actions in the life. The sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit is always present in those that walk by faith. And those people here have this idea of faith. They're always pressing forward for something that is not in their possession. With this in mind, we go to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And put that file that away in your memory, that he condemned the world. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. In concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised from to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain in the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's open in prayer. Merciful God, we have so much here that you've given us in this wonderful book, this sermon that was delivered to the Church of the Hebrews. Let us glean the truths from here, Father, and understand this faith which you've given us that indicates a work of grace, this faith which drives us on, this faith, Father, that we live by because we do not possess, we do not own. We strive to go to that city prepared for us, whose builder and maker is God. This is not our country. We declare ourselves to be pilgrims. Help us now, Father, to understand these things and press on. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Starting in verse 7, we have some interesting things, and we'll move through here and draw some points out as an overview. It starts with Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah probably is one of the key figures we read about early in Genesis. We know so much about him. We see this godly individual, how the Lord worked in his life. We see that he was called to do something which had never been done before, to build an ark, a massive ship, apparently in an area where you didn't see them. No one had ever seen an ark. There's no such thing as an ark. We have no record of an ark. And he was told to build an ark. And by the way, it took 120 years. And according to the Gospel of Peter, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness, no doubt, with the message he gave. But his righteousness was evidenced by his physical work, of what he was challenged to do. And every day people went out and they saw Noah building an ark. When they thought of Noah, they thought of a carpenter building an ark, a preacher of righteousness, a righteous man. But his deeds were known by what he did, and he was building an ark. And he did so for 120 years. All right, he lived a long time, but 120 years is 120 years. That's a long time. He built this ark. And the Bible says something very interesting about it. Not only for the saving of his household, but by it he condemned the world. You know, the scriptures are going to teach us something consistently through here. And you're going to see it in this chapter. When the righteous servants of God follow him, and they live by faith, and they walk by faith, and they're condemned and ostracized when they are treated badly by the world and the world sees them, there is greater condemnation piled upon every unbeliever for how they see, they receive, and they perceive Christians, because that's a testimony the Lord has put before them. And they are condemning the world, and a greater condemnation comes to the world when the righteous people of God serve him faithfully. It's like Ray's sermon today. Those unbelievers were condemned, and it showed their condemnation that they were spoken to in an unknown tongue. Those that had repeatedly abused and repeatedly refused to hear the clear revelation were given this message now in an unknown tongue. And only those elect of God could understand and know. And they were saved, and it was one of the indications that God was displeased. And God now puts believers, a godly man, in a preeminent position where everybody could see what he did, and he became known to all those about him. And he might have been ridiculed and mocked, but every day he showed up to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day he did that, more condemnation was brought to the unbelievers who would mock him and ignore the clear message. It then says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. By faith Abraham, he became an heir of righteousness. Speaking of Moses, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. We many times forget about Abraham. We forget that he came from this land of Ur, this huge city, it was a city that was fairly well developed. We know that when he had come out with Terah's father, it was a pagan city. We do know that something about the culture and the science, and we know that it was not anything less than what we would call an advanced civilization at that time. And he went out, he was called, and when he accepted the call, he was called by God, he went out to do God's work. He never went back. And he had a land that was given to him, and yet during the whole time he was in this land, he never built a home. He never built a palace. It was never known by everybody else that this was the land of Abraham. It was a land contested. But he was told, this is your land. This is the land of Isaac and Jacob. This is your land. It's a land he never received in this life. It's a land that was promised to him. It's a land where the children of Israel would come to. And we read, though, further that it said, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Many times when we think of Old Testament saints, we do them an injustice. Just because they did not have the completed scriptures, they did not have the canon at that time given to them. God knew that Abraham was a prophet. He had been given visions. He'd been given the word of God. And he had one sure promise that he was able to cling to. And it was the promise was this. There's a city. There's a life after this life. And there's a city that my God will build for me, a place of my inheritance. And the builder and maker is God. And that's what I live for. This land, I can live in tents. I can be treated as a stranger in a land. And though I may have wealth and God blesses me, never accepted in this land by the Canaanites, by many of these people. Many of these wicked people. Because I go to a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's what I live for. And Abraham Young, we even know the scriptures talked about when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking and rebuking the Pharisees, what did he say about Abraham? He looked forward to his day. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had much knowledge, much more than we think, and he clearly the revelation he had encouraged him. It says, by faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, if you are like me right now, you're starting to think something, and it's because we're sinners. We know sinners. There's something we all have in common. We really are prone to sin. We sin often. We know sinners. We have the nature of sinners. We struggle with sin. And you remember now when we talk about Abraham and we talk about Sarah, we think of their sins, do we not? We think that they walk by faith, but we remember the sins. We remember sinful things Abraham did. We remember the lies. We remember the adultery. We remember the sinful things Sarah did, sending her handmaid. We remember the sinful things Sarah did when she first heard the promise. She laughed. She mocked. She didn't believe. But isn't it interesting? In this scripture, in this account, given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to this apostolic writer, isn't it interesting that God, in his grace and mercy, looks down on his children, and by the faith he gave them to follow them, and when he sees them exercising it, even in their frailty, even in their sin, he calls them children of faith. Were there times she doubted? Yes. Were there times she failed? Yes. Were there times Abraham failed? Yes. Were there times that he would sin badly and there would be sinful rewards for what he had done? Yes. But you know something? He had something. He had a faith. He sought a city whose builder and maker was God. he would repent of his sins and turn from his sins. But when they saw his life, and the overview of Abraham's life is looked at, and Sarah, they walked by faith. They stumbled, they fell. They were restored, but they walked by faith. And as she came, and after being restored in the Lord Jesus, because surely she confessed the sin, we see that she by faith believed that God could do all these things. We have much in common with them. We're going to talk about that. We have much in common with them. Look a little further, if you will, please. It says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were many born, as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. This huge number of the Hebrews that were to come. And yet, initially, he had Ishmael, and he had Isaac, and he had other sons through concubines, but the child of the promise was what? One. And it wasn't until three generations later when we see 12 sons born, and we see the 12 tribes established, and we see God established that he's going to make a great nation. So Abraham walked by faith. Isaac walked by faith. Jacob walked by faith. Were they sinners? Yes. Did they fail often? Yes. But they're acknowledged here in the chapter, in the book of faith, saying that they all sought a city. They were all frail. There's good news for you and good news for me. Because guess what? If they had your name in here, everybody in this church would say, you got to be kidding. I know them. I know how they sin. I know their failures. Everybody would say, oh, you don't understand. I saw him do this or that. I saw her do that. I heard them say this. And God in his mercy looks at his children who are covered by the blood of Christ, who he had given saving faith, who were saved from above. They were born from above by the Spirit of God. They are regenerated. He gives saving faith, and they walk by faith. And he sees his children coming to a holy city, which he has called them to. And he sees them, and he says, they're walking by faith, and the righteous shall live by faith. That's what he sees. And then he says, these have all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'd like you to notice that passage. It's such a key passage for here. He said, they all died in faith. They all died in faith. Every one of them died in faith. Remember what we talked about the week, 2 weeks ago? Faith, the substance of things hoped for, things you don't hold in your hands, but things that God impresses and gives you the ability to believe, the great hope by the work of the Holy Spirit, and you know it's true. And they know that there was a city, and they know that it was true, and they know that they are following God. And every one of them died in faith and did not receive in this life the promises. And you know what? God has blessed you and me in many ways, and in this life blesses us with many material things. But let me assure you of one thing. You are not going to receive your promises in this life. It's not going to happen. If you pursue Christianity for all the good things Jesus is going to pile on you, and the big bank account, and all the success, and all the friends, and all the happy relationships, and all that, and there's many blessings. We all want to love the fellowship. Those are great, wonderful things. But you know what? You've got to acknowledge something. You have to confess. You have to believe. You have to confirm by your actions that you're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. And everything else doesn't matter. And nothing else matters. You're willing to talk to people about difficult things, whether family or friends or neighbors, and share difficult messages because you're letting them know this life is not important. This is not what you live for. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. And if you will turn to him, if you will trust in him, if you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see there's for the first time a meaning in your life, and you'll see it as this: I'm a pilgrim. I'm passing through. I'm seeking his city. I'm seeking to be with him. And then he said, they having seen them afar off were assured of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, they said they saw them afar off. And I'd like to draw a contrast, if I may. It said they saw them afar off. It hadn't happened yet. A Messiah hadn't been announced. An anointed one hadn't been declared to be here. The clear giving of the law and sacrifices, which would make it much more understandable, is yet to become. But they knew there would become one. That even in a book as early as Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And every one of these saints had heard the good news, and they had a faith trusting in God for a Redeemer. But it was afar off. It was very far off. And the language, that it's like so far off. Just the little bit they could see, they believed. Just the very little bit they could see, they believed. And they walked by faith. They didn't go to the book of Hebrews and read all the great promises. They didn't go through the book of John, through the book of Mark, through the book of Romans. They didn't go to Galatians. They didn't turn to Ephesians. They couldn't even go to the older books, most of the books of the Old Testament. They didn't have them at this time. But you know what? They saw afar off. They had the Word of God. And they heard his word. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes from God's word. And they knew it was his word. And they trusted in him. And that's all they needed. That's all they needed. And that's saving faith. That's saving faith. That's faith where we follow the Lord Jesus Christ because he convinced us. The Bible says we must come to him in faith and believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that seek him and come to him, believing they'll be rewarded. That's what he did. He gave them enough. They saw it was enough. They could live in a wicked, wicked land. They could deny themselves to the pleasure of this world. They could not focus on the things because they saw afar off the good news. And the Bible said, they embraced them. You know what? They embraced them. What a wonderful expression. What is your hope? They go, it's afar off, but I live for that. That's me. That's what I live for. To be joined with my Savior. That's what I live for. They embraced it. And the Bible says they embraced it. And not only did they embrace it, these people of limited revelation, these people that did not have this complete scripture, the Bible says they embraced it. And look what it said next to it. And they confessed. You see, you can say what you want, but if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are living by faith as the righteous must, when you live by faith, you will have a confession of your faith. You will be able to tell people that you trust in Christ and Christ alone, that you live for something beyond this world. You will be able to tell people. You may not be the most articulate person in the world. You may not be someone that can spin off Bible verse after Bible verse and tie all the wonderful theology together and give this exhaustive, well-dimensioned, well-orbed view of God's redemption. You know what, though? But you can tell people, I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now at a distance, I see my Savior. And they did with that little bit of knowledge. And they embraced him and they confessed him. And that's what they knew him for. That's what Abraham was known for. That's what Sarah was known for. That's what Noah was known for. That's what every Old Testament believer was known for. And then he goes on further here and he says, and they confessed. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The confession isn't just what they said, but they were letting them know that they even would go so far as to say, because of that, I'm aligning myself. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. I don't live in this world. You know, Christians, it's a shame when most Christians are just people that get along in the world with Jesus. And people think a Christian is just like everybody else. They just trust in Jesus. A Christian should be known as someone they don't fit in the world. They don't live with the world. They're not part of the world. It's not their calling. They have a calling that says you will not put down roots and live for the things of this world. There are eternal consequences, and we see it in our families. We see it in our children. We see it in our churches. You can go into a church, don't have to be there too long to see, what are they teaching? Are they teaching the way of the pilgrim or the way of the investor? Are they teaching the way of the pilgrim or the way of the person that has a formula for blessings? What are they teaching? Now, it's interesting here. If there's a passage here I'd like to share a little time. The Bible says they sought a city whose builder and maker was God. It said, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, in these Old Testament saints, God's letting it be known, I prepared a city for them. I've called them out. I've prepared a city for them. And they knew that. And they had that glimmer. They had that glimpse. They had that sufficient knowledge that where they trusted. They had true faith. It wasn't a lot, though. It wasn't a lot. It just wasn't a lot. And we now are in this age where we've been given so much. We know so much. Do you know what Old Testament saints would give to sit where you are, to hear what you know, to hear the messages you've heard, to study the Bible you've heard, to have had that, to understand the fullness of the redemption in Christ? Can you imagine? Think of their faith with this. And what is our faith like with this? One of the commentators said they followed a small, small light, and now we have a bright burning orb that just glares at us. Do we follow it? We don't need to talk about a dim light. We don't need to talk about, we can talk about a glorious light, a glorious revelation, more knowledge, more truth, more understanding. And you know what? He's going to close that out in chapters 38, verse 38 and 39 and 40. But right now, think about this. I want you to hear something the Lord Jesus Christ said. And here it says he went to build them a city. And he said, and he will not be ashamed to call them God. I'd like to share a verse. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, here am I, and the children whom God has given me. He says in Hebrews chapter 2, when he's talking about the high priest that's completed his mission, who's now seated at the right hand of God, who's made propitiation for sins, who's the captain of their salvation, who is ushered, he's now ushering them into the city he's prepared. And in that city, I want you to notice he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. When you come into that holy city, that new Jerusalem, when you come into that eternal dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think that we will come, we will walk in, we all have all kinds of images of what it'll be, the glory we'll have, singing his praises, being with the multitudes, the heavenly hosts, the redeemed, the angels, to be in his presence, to sing his praises. But here's what he says. And this is what the Bible says, and this is what our captain of our salvation says. He says in verse 12, he will declare our names to the brethren, all the redeemed. He will declare our name to all the brethren. I'm asking you something. If those people who had a little glimmer, and they walked by faith, and they embraced it, and they confessed they were pilgrims, if they had a little glimmer, and now they said they've blown up, and they said, he said he would meet them, he would greet them, and he would declare their names to the brethren, what would it have done for that walk? What would it have done when they resist the evil, when they die the death, when they suffer persecution? What would it have done? We have that. That's what he's done for us. He says then, by faith, when Abraham was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be blessed, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I want you to understand something. Abraham was a prophet, true. Abraham was a servant of God, true. Abraham walked by faith. But Abraham thought through with God revealed to him and gave him, and he consistently based his life upon. I want you to show you something. He was given a seed that he said, in this seed you will be blessed. In this seed, Isaac. And yet he said, you have to offer Isaac up. And he thought this, God is faithful. Isaac's the promised one. In him will be the blessing. God wants me to offer him up. God will resurrect him. God wants me to offer him up. God wants me to resurrect him. Let me ask you this. When we struggle in life and we think of the problems we're faced, do we even just use a portion of the good common reasoning we should have with the Word of God and think how God would want us to live and how God is good and God is faithful and God is consistent and God doesn't change his mind? And when God gives us a promise, he wants you to know that promise will never change. He will never abort it. He will never change it. And when God says something, we can by faith say, I will live like that. Abraham said, God will keep his word. He will bless me. I will be blessed, and all people will be blessed through Isaac. And since he's going to bless Isaac, and he asks me to offer him up, I'll offer him up. And the Bible says tested there, and it just means to check his faith. He wasn't tempted to do evil. Though God was doing a litmus test to see, Abraham, how much do you love me? And Abraham, how much can you walk by faith and believe what I tell you? I'm going to tell you something. We have a lot of knowledge, and not, we don't want to take that test. These Old Testament saints were saints indeed, and they walked by faith, and they had a glimmer. And we got a bright light that's blinding. How then shall we walk? The Bible says that he knew he'd raise him up. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, he lived by faith. He blessed his sons with the blessings that would come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped on the leaning on the top of the staff, Manasseh and Ephraim. Blessed them. Half the people said, well, those sons of Joseph, well, I got news for you. They became great. In fact, Ephraim became such a great tribe when after the division of the northern and southern kingdom, they used to just refer to the northern tribe as Ephraim. He saw that. He blessed them. And then the Bible says that by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. He knew they would depart because God said they would depart. And just like his dad, when his dad heard a promise, he believed in it. He did too, and he said, I want you to take my bones with me. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and that they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, when he was three, he was hidden. What, was that his faith? No, it was the faith of his parents, his covenant parents. God doesn't want them to hand over their son to a wicked king and die a wicked death. And they chose to follow God instead of Caesar. They chose to follow God instead of the king. They knew what was right. And the Bible says he came from a household of faith. And they by faith put him aside. And the Bible says that by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures of Egypt, for which he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The Bible says he did fear the king. Initially, he feared the Pharaoh, and he fled. But the message here is this. If he was committed to Egypt and the household of Pharaoh, someone recognizes one of the sons of Pharaoh who had gone through the University of the Sun, who was already probably a military leader, according to many studies, who was a great man, who was a well-versed man. Had he gone to the king and said, I had made a mistake, I got caught up in it, he could have easily, for killing an Egyptian, been spared. He could have easily. But he refused to, and he took on the allegiance of the Hebrews. And he knew that at that time he should flee. He did flee. He went out and for 40 years lived in the wilderness and had a long time for the Lord Jesus to work in his life. The fact of the matter is, he did know he had great riches, great blessings, the greatest nation at that time, the most developed nation, a wealthy nation. He had it all. But he wanted to be counted as one of God's people. And he came from a household of faith. And that's where we're reminded that. How are we raising our children? You want to see your children make difficult decisions in life when it comes down to it? What do they remember they lived? What do they remember was taught? What do they remember was lived? Was it the things of this world? Or is it just faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Material blessings God gives you is wonderful, but let's listen. If you do not live for the Lord Jesus Christ and forsake this land, you are not his. If you're not a pilgrim walking by faith, you're not his. If you love this world more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not his. The Bible has some clear indications, and Moses was prepared for that. And if you look further, it says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, and lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And then it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. The Egyptians tried just what those representing believers did. That's all they tried. They did it without faith. They weren't the faithful, and God killed them. And people that try to mimic Christianity, to follow Christians, to do the things of God, we're told in this analogy, we're told very clearly, the Bible's letting us know that's a dangerous thing because God does not reward people unless they believe he is and they come to him by faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is necessary, and anything else where people try to have the resemblance of faith or religion or ceremony. It's all a curse, and it's greater condemnation brought to them if they do not walk by faith, and they will ultimately be destroyed. And then he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And we know, of course, everybody did die there, but this harlot did not. I've heard it explained. I heard one commentator said, well, she probably wasn't a harlot. She probably really wasn't a harlot. She was probably someone that put people up. She was a harlot. She was a harlot. And she was of a wicked people. And God chose to save her. And she got saving faith. And she departed wickedness, and she left a land and never turned back when it was destroyed. And she dwelt with the people of God. The Bible then says that, what more shall I say, for a time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak. Gideon and the great, we all know the great battle, breaking the jars, having the thousands that broke down to hundreds, and then finally taking on a great army and having a great victory. Of Barak, if you want to look at that, Barak wimped out at first. He had Deborah with him. He wasn't going to do his job. She rebuked him. And yet he, by faith, repented of his actions. He started, his actions showed that he would follow God faithfully. And now God is listing him with the faithful. Again, a fallen person who, by faith, was following him, who did the right thing, walked by faith. But then, more importantly, as we move on here, it says, and Samson and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel and the prophets. And again, each one of these people, there's not one of them there you can't think of wickedness you know about them. I would like to say to you, if you performed like David, you would be censored in the Church of Jesus Christ right now. You would be brought up under discipline. And if you think of Samson got into drunkenness, was with harlots, unbelievers. Maybe he became truly a believer at that last moment when he repented and prayed for God to avenge himself on these wicked people. We don't know, but you know what? If that were the case, isn't it wonderful to think something? That with one act of faith and the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in your last act you trusted and you followed him, he would list you in this chapter of faith and say you walked by faith. And you know what? If there is a faith that we read about in the New Testament, and later on in New Testament times, and we read about the thief on the cross that died, and the one who said, remember me when you're in your kingdom, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, today you'll be with me. When the Lord Jesus Christ did that, you know what? He's listed in a book of faith right now. And his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the hope we have. It's not how many lists of good deeds, but did you walk by faith? Were you truly one that repented? Did you truly follow him? Did you truly live by faith? If in the last breath God gives you saving grace and you turn to him, he will give you the same reward as those that have worked in the vineyard all day. You will be with him forever in glory, because it's not about what you bring to the table. It's what Christ did at the cross. And the chapter tells us that. And then he says, he goes, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, as it believed Isaiah was. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. If you could have one epitaph on your grave that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness forever to throughout the world, it would be that the world was not worthy of you. That the world was not worthy of me. Because we had no love for this world. And this world had no love for us. We were pilgrims passing through. There's no greater epitaph. I think if I did believe in putting something profound on my tombstone, I would ask one, please. If it didn't sound arrogant, it's not because I'm anything. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And then he says, they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves and on the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. He's telling you again, no one's deceiving you. You were not receiving the promise here. And then he says, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And here's what that means. Calvin's agreed on it. Matthew Henry is, Gil, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And here's what it's being. Made perfect means mature or complete. So here's what happened. Those Old Testament saints that had that little knowledge. God's using an example here. You know how you use an example to someone? You show something that's ridiculous and how effective it is. In other words, you talk about a 125-pound woman beating up a 250-pound man. That gets your eye. And by the way, that didn't happen with me and Cindy. But not often. But if you said, and that's impressive. And he's saying something here. And here's the message. This message of this chapter. Here's the message. These people conquered nations. They fought wickedness. They were victors. They did not compromise. They didn't do anything like that. They were great saints of God. And they had a little flickering knowledge and revelation. And they embraced it. And they confessed they were pilgrims. And they said, it's enough. Because I go to a city whose builder and maker is God. And he's saying, now you're made perfect. Think of what you can do. Think of what you've been given. Think of what you have. Think of what God's given us. What can we do? We walk by faith. We should walk better. We should have greater faith. We should do greater things. I believe when it's said and done and when our history is all written and this world is gone and we're with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the church of Jesus Christ is looked at and the saints of God that have kicked down the gates of hell and prevailed again and again and again, it's going to show that there were so many saints of God that did superior things to this and things just as superior that we won't even believe it. And where are you? And where am I? Are we pilgrims? And are we looking at a light that so overwhelms us? A revelation that's so great. We say, how could I not live by faith if these that went ahead of me did? And that's why in chapter 12 he says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Remember who went before us. Remember what he's done in our lives. Remember what he's given us. And let's walk by faith. Let's glorify him. Remember, we're pilgrims passing through. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for this testimony of the great saints of God. People that you gave some knowledge to, and they saw a light. But God in heaven, touch our heart, may your spirit remove the scales, unstop our ears, let us see the things and hear the things that we should and see what we should know. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, full revelation, the canon of the scripture. We have the Holy Spirit giving us discernment and wisdom. We have ministers brought to us, teaching us the word of God, teachers. We have so much, Lord God. We have such a bright light. Our walk and our pilgrimage should bring more glory to you with all that you've given us. Give us this strength. Help us now in Jesus' name we pray.